Welcome back to Witch Church. It's your host, Mal. I'm a professional astrologer, tarot reader and teacher, and intuitive healer. And you're about to listen to the recording of Witch Church Live, a sermon that I give to my Instagram community every week. Feel free to catch the live show every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central on IG Live, or listen to the recording right here on the podcast. This is a non-denominational weekly service for witches, astrology nerds, and anyone else who feels like they are being called to walk the spiritual path. At Witch Church Live, we talk all about the weekly astrological and tarot forecast, and really anything else that is channeled through me about the week ahead. Oh, and you'll probably hear about my random life updates and some rambly life stories mixed in as well. I hope that's okay. If this podcast brings some kind of value or joy to your life, be sure to leave me a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And feel free to send this podcast to a friend if you feel like they could benefit from listening. If you feel called, you can also support the production of this podcast and my other creations on Patreon for as little as $5 a month and get access to my secret YouTube channel with a bunch of extra astrology and tarot content. And if you would like me to hold space for you on your spiritual path, you can book an astrology session, tarot reading, or distance Reiki healing on my site, MalloryHasty.com. I would be honored to be your guide in some way. All of the links to my site and my social media are in the show notes. Have a magical week, my friends, and thank you so much for listening. Did we survive the eclipse this weekend? Because we had an eclipse really early Friday morning in Taurus. We had a full moon Taurus lunar eclipse, and we have one more eclipse of 2021, and that is on December 4th, and that will be taking place at 12 degrees Sagittarius, and that's a new moon solar eclipse. Quinn, you said you barely survived. You know, I don't know. This eclipse was okay for me. It was not too bad. I think I've just learned that during eclipse season, I almost just allow myself to really go with the flow. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but I've just learned over time, eclipse season, if you try to force too many things into actualization, or if you kind of just are forcing your own agenda too much during eclipse season, you're like manifesting and having all these goals and trying to get so much shit done, I feel like it just backfires on us. So in a weird way, I feel like eclipse season is kind of a good time, at least between now and, like, let's say December 10th, might be a good time to be a little bit of a underachiever, which, you know, you never thought you hear me say that, but not an underachiever in the sense of, like, I'm not gonna do anything and I'm giving up. That's not what I'm suggesting, but I think eclipse season is a time to really let Jesus take the wheel, if you will. It's a good time to really, have what you need to get done on your plate, but then also have space to feel in to what the universe is revealing to you, right? So, okay, Quinn, so your natal moon is in Taurus, and then you have a Sagittarius rising, so I'm wondering, both these eclipses then are kind of hitting you pretty significantly in your chart. And yay, Noelle, you said surviving with flying colors. That's amazing. And Natasha, you said I'm surviving through trying to just flow. My head has been hurting since the moon moved into Taurus, but also so much is changing and I'm trying to release and trust. Also, my dreams have been wackadoo. Same. Oh, dude, same. My dreams have been so weird. Alex, you said desperately trying to let go and let God. Yes, let go and let God, right? And it's no coincidence that today the card I was called to talk about is the Wheel of Fortune, which for me is very much my Jesus take the wheel kind of card. So we're going to talk about the Wheel of Fortune today. And Venzella, you said surviving and thriving so far, vibing with this one. That's good. Yeah. I also know that I think, and one of my friends and a couple of my clients also reached out, and I swear to you, like, as an astrologer, there's no more prominent time other than eclipse season when people are reaching out to me and freaking out about, like, the doom and gloom astrology forecast, you know, because I think the way eclipses are sometimes branded in the astrological forecast world, I think they can be really maybe a little bit pessimistic. It is true that the ancient astrologers viewed eclipses as malefic events, and malefic meaning bad omens. But to be honest, I think, again, like, eclipses are only as malefic as much as we are forcing our own agenda onto the astrological weather, right? And Freshy Lena, you said, what deck is that? It is the Sacerdotibo Tarot. Sacerdotibo Tarot. It's by Sasha Burrington, and you can get it on Etsy. And apparently Sacerdotibo means wanderer in Japanese. So this has been like my deck for the past couple months. I've really connected with this deck. And Jessica, you said lots of little cuts, burns, spilling liquids. Is that linked? Perhaps. And Quinn, you said, I'm still finding the positive. I'm just reeling from a big loss right now. 2 weeks today. That's totally fair. You know, I think too, in that sense, and this is something that I want to talk about, Quinn, so I'm glad you brought up kind of this idea of grief. Because I think sometimes eclipse season and even December as a month in general can maybe bring us into a little bit of like a grieving process, whether we are grieving a physical loss or grieving an old part of our lives that is kind of being composted and transmuted. And I wanted to read you guys something, per usual, but the great Demetra George, she writes in Astrology and the Authentic Self, which is a great astrology book, just a really short line about what she says about eclipse season. So she says, eclipses can allow us to access that which has been concealed or repressed, what Jung referred to as the shadow. This encounter with the hidden and rejected contents of the unconscious, as it refers to either the solar mind or the lunar emotions, can bring a person to integrate the unknown with the known, the dark with the light, the past with the future. So I just love that idea. Eclipses can allow us to access that which has been concealed or repressed. I love that metaphor. I love the idea of eclipses being a great time not to be hard on ourselves and to really rip ourselves apart for the realizations we're having about ourselves. That's not what shadow work is, you know. Shadow work is coming to terms with what is being revealed to us about ourselves, and how am I being gentle and loving and compassionate with this information. That could be a very much an eclipse season kind of vibe, if you will. Okay, now, here's what's interesting. So hopefully this week, I did interview Rebecca Scholnick, who is a numerologist in New York City, and we talked about life path numbers. So hopefully there's an episode on life path numbers coming to you very soon. But I've had like the divinity of numbers kind of in my head for the past couple days, ever since I interviewed Becca. And I was thinking about this idea of the number, like the space between 9 and 1. Okay, so if you're familiar with some of the numerology of the tarot, the Wheel of Fortune is number 10. Okay, so, and we know 10 is actually a 1, because 1 plus 0, if we add 10 into a whole number, we get 1, right? So in an interesting way, the Wheel of Fortune carries a similar vibe to, let's say, like the Magician, which is card number 1. And the wheel being 10, numerically, there's something here about like the liminal space between an ending and a beginning. And we can see that, I think, in the metaphor behind the Wheel of Fortune. We literally have a circle on the card, right? So we have that good old, like, death is rebirth, is birth, is death, is rebirth. You know, we have that kind of cycle metaphor on the card. This idea that every ending is a new beginning and all that la-la cliche spiritual stuff, right? But I think that there's something coming in this week, and I think for eclipse season in general, there's something about, it's like this question, what do we do when we're hanging out between 10 and 1? You know, like, what do we do when we're hanging out between the end and the beginning, right? What do we do in this liminal space? How do we use this time to bring awareness to parts of ourselves? But also, what are some ways we use this time, like, foolishly? Okay, like, what are some mistakes? I don't know if there's like bad, negative ways to use this liminal space, but I what are some ways we cause ourselves more suffering when we're between 10 and 1? Okay, are you picking up what I'm putting down here? Okay, Wheel of Fortune, I'm going to tell a little story about a time I was kind of at a 10, between a 10 and a 1, right? I was kind of at like the ending of something and the beginning of something else, okay? And this was around the time, beginning of 2020, okay? At the beginning of 2020, I was still working at a metaphysical shop, reading cards there. It was definitely an experience I'm very, very grateful for. And it kind of, I think, put my business, like, it was like taking steroids for my spiritual path in a way, just like even working there for a year. But, you know, at the beginning of 2020, I knew in my gut that there was something else that I needed to be doing, and I also knew that continuing to work at this metaphysical shop, although it was such a good experience and et cetera, et cetera, I just knew, like, I had outgrown it, right? So imagine this, like, I'm between a 10 and a 1, right? In sort of like the metaphor of numerology, I'm at a 10 and I really want to get to the 1, because I can feel I'm at a 10, right? Like, I can feel, like, in this moment, like, huh, I'm done with this, right? Or like, I've outgrown this, or this just isn't challenging me anymore. Or sometimes when we're at a 10, we start to get scared and we start to be like, oh, I'm really comfortable here. So now, ooh, like, I feel changes around the corner, but I'm really comfortable in this 10, so I want to hang on to it, right? There's a couple of different experiences we can have when we know we're kind of on the cusp of something new. So, la-di-da-di-da, want to leave this metaphysical shop. What does my ego do? You know, because, like, when we're at a 10, there's no other time the ego wants clarity and answers, right? And the ego really wants to fucking predict the future when we're at a 10, when we're at the kind of this beginning to go into this liminal space. Because the liminal space is scary. The liminal space says you have to let go. You have to trust, which is a big lesson of the Wheel of Fortune. You have to, like, kind of hang out and listen to what spirit has to say, right? So when that's the challenge, right, what does the monkey mind want to do? Search for answers, search for the next step, solidify something as soon as possible so we can be in this unknown liminal space for as little time as possible, right? So I remember, imagine this, I want to leave the metaphysical shop arena in general, and somehow I end up at an interview at another metaphysical shop that's more in the city. Like, and I'm in there, and, like, I'm getting really bad vibes from the owner of the shop. Like, they just kind of seemed like, it felt very, like, surface level, like, spirituality. It felt like there was an underlying, there's, like, an underlying goal. It wasn't really about, like, helping people on their spiritual path. It was more just about, like, money and marketing and, like, whatever. Anyways, I won't go into it too much, but long story short, I'm at an interview at another metaphysical shop downtown. I'm getting weird vibes, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I left, and I, like, just didn't know how it went. I think they would have hired me for sure, but I wasn't sure if I wanted to say yes. I'm driving back home, and on the way back home, I get stopped in this really weird traffic jam in, like, a spot in town where there wouldn't normally be a traffic jam. And the reason there was this huge traffic jam was because there was this train, there was, like, this 20-minute freight train, and I'm just sitting on this street, and I'm like, this is a fucking sign. Like, and not to be the Pisces, you know, I'm ruled by Jupiter, so, like, everything is a sign. But really, truly, in that moment, I was like, this is a sign that me, after going to this interview that felt out of alignment, I'm trying to rush clarity, right? Because I know there's a part of me that wants to leave this old job that's no longer helping me grow. I'm pushing for clarity. I want the fucking answer. So I try to push that, and I end up looking at something that's very out of alignment. Like, I just end up looking at it right in the eye, right? And then I get stopped in this, like, massive traffic jam where, like, I'm forced to sit for 20 minutes while a freight train is going, you know, and I'm, like, just forced to, like, sit in the fact that, like, yeah, I rushed that. Like, I did not act accordingly in the 10 to the 1, right? And by the way, do you want to know what date that happened? That whole freight train weird interview thing. That happened probably, I think it was February 9th, 2020. I don't know why I remember that date. I just do. Yeah, February 9th, 2020. So, okay. Even that, right? like, even just that date, like, what was going to happen less than a month later, right? The shop that I was working in was going to close because of COVID. I was going to decide this is literally my perfect opening to just go freelance and start my own business for real, and start building my dream of being my own entrepreneur and being an entrepreneur and boss and all that stuff. So that came, like, less than a month after that moment where I was like, fuck, like, I just need the answer. I just need to know what's next. And I think that feeling right now is really prominent. This feeling of, I don't know what's next, but I really want to know. Right? Like, does anybody else feel that right now? Just like, yeah, I don't know. This just, I don't know what's next, but God damn it. I would pay. How much would I pay to know what's next? You know? And Alex, you said, it blows my mind the ways the universe communicates with us sometimes. Yeah, it really does, right? And Amy, hey Amy, you said always. Katie, you said yes. Okay, Kara, you said very much resonates. Okay, good, so I'm not crazy. No, I'm in this space too. And going back to the Wheel of Fortune, I feel like the Wheel of Fortune is a really beautiful card that speaks to, I don't know what's next. It's driving me fucking crazy. And I want the answer. But how do I trust in not having the answer right now? And how do I trust that the answer is coming to me, and that the universe does have my best interest in mind? And how am I just supposed to really be in my body and just trust that the next step is meeting me, right? Like, and how do I just not have a panic attack throughout all of that, right? This is a really challenging part of our human experience, in my opinion. And Sav, you said my thoughts for the past couple weeks, exactly. Okay. So good. I'm glad we're on the same page. So some of you know, I love to kind of divinate with the I Ching, which is an ancient Chinese form of divination. It's like billions of years old. Just kidding, but it's really old. And there's a lot of different translations of the I Ching. Right now I'm reading from the Hilary Barrett translation, which I really like. And I cast an I Ching, a hexagram for the rest of the year, for like my advice for the rest of the year. And it's so funny because you know which one I got? I got the very last chapter of the I Ching. So like, and it's interesting because this is hexagram 64, and 6 plus 4 equals 10, which equals 1, and also the Wheel of Fortune is 10. So again, we're very much, I think, numerically in the divinity of numbers, we're at the 10, between the 10 and the 1, right? So this hexagram really just tells a story about a fox crossing the river. Okay, and obviously it's metaphorical, right? So the questions that Hilary Barrett poses about this story, how to prepare for the crossing, wink wink, nudge nudge, okay, and how will you know when it's time? Okay, before I read this, I want you to think about, if you were here for the story I just told about how, yeah, on February 9th, I interviewed for an out-of-alignment job that I didn't even want, and then got stopped by a freight train, a 20-minute freight train on my way home, because I was trying to rush clarity, right? Think of a time when you actually did that, like something like that. Like, just kind of take a deep breath, like, and tune in to a time in your life, because we've all done it. Like, was there ever a time in your life where you said yes to something and it wasn't in alignment, and it was really just a yes because you felt panic about the unknown, right? Or like, was there ever a time you drove yourself nuts because you're trying to rush towards clarity? So that's kind of the vibe I get from this hexagram. So let's just read a little bit of the story here. A wise fox will only attempt to cross when there is solid ice on the river, and then pick his way over carefully, every sense alert. If he sets out when the conditions are not right, he won't be able to complete the crossing. He'll be shamed and stranded at best, and he may be altogether sunk. For a small fox on drifting ice in midstream, there is no useful direction. He can't plan his way out, but perhaps he can still sense it, following his ears and whiskers from one step to another. When you are not yet across, you may be hesitating on the verge of a transition, trying to tell whether it's safe to commit yourself. It's time to use the skills of the wise fox. Okay. All right. So I love this. I love this medicine here for our Wheel of Fortune 10-1 liminal space moment. Okay. Because we get to decide, am I going to be the wise fox in crossing the river? Or am I going to be the hasty fox? No pun intended, okay? If he sets out when the conditions are not right, he won't be able to complete the crossing. Okay, so for me, it's like we know we need to set out on a journey, right? Like, we know that there's kind of like a, oh, I don't know what's next, but I really want to know what's next. So we know that the universe is trying to deliver us some kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge of how to move forward. But if we, according to this I Ching, if we set out when the conditions aren't right, we'll be stranded in this the middle of the lake because we didn't wait for the moment where the whole river was frozen over. Instead, we prematurely went to cross the river. And now it's like that scene in Little Women when the youngest sister, Amy, falls through the ice. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. It's like that. Okay. So I think here, before we rush to clarity, before we rush to the answers, we really need to ask ourselves, am I crossing the river on solid, firm ice? Or am I trying to cross the river too early and now the ice is cracking and I'm at risk of being stranded in the middle of this cold river and my tail is going to get wet and I'm going to look like a fool? Okay, so keep that in mind. So one more thing from this I Ching, which I think is good. Taking your cart down the riverbank at the headlong gallop is not necessarily a sign of courage. It may just mean anxiety is driving. It's better to slow down as you approach the water to bring your momentum under control and give yourself a chance to see the best way to proceed. Choosing a speed you can sustain enables you to complete the crossing safely. This is the hardest moment, I think, in the tarot at times to control our speed. Because it's so easy to say yes to clarity and yes to the artificial sense of like, this is the answer. Versus really taking a step back and staying calm through the unknown. Okay. And Quinn, you said work smarter, not harder. Yeah, it is kind of like that, right? I would say that's definitely a good message for a lot of people during this holiday season. So have any of you seen the new Venus and Serena movie yet with Will Smith? It's called King Richard. I don't know if any of you have seen it yet. Okay. It's pretty good. It's a good movie. I love Will Smith. And I mean, of course, Will Smith is amazing. If you can watch it, it's on HBO Max. I also think it's in theaters. but Spark Notes, can I just say that if you can go see that movie, King Richard, it's a great movie when it comes to, like, the astrological discussion between fate and free will, which I think very much this I Ching 64 and the Wheel of Fortune are bringing up this week for us. The difference between fate and free will and how fate and free will mix together, right? Alex, you said I haven't, but it feels very Venus in Capricorn. It is. It's a very Venus in Capricorn movie, I think. So one thing I want to say is that if you do watch this movie, you'll see many times where Venus and Serena's dad, Will Smith or Richard, he already has the plan for them, right? Like he says in the movie, before they were even born, I knew they were going to be stars. Like I had their plan already made for them. Like it's truly a movie about manifestation, but also a movie about how we meet our fate. And I think Richard, the dad, was so intuitive in a lot of choices he made for his daughters. Because as you'll see in the movie, there were a lot of times when Venus, specifically when Venus was a teenager, where they were getting offers about, like, sponsors and different coaches. And these coaches were trying to tell them what to do and how to become a tennis star and et cetera, et cetera. And there were so many temptations to say yes to the slightly out of alignment thing because it would have been easier and there would have been some artificial sense of relief to say yes to the thing that wasn't completely right. Okay. And some people thought Richard, Venus and Serena's dad, was absolutely nuts because the way he was leading his daughter's career, at least from the time they were from the time they were born to the time they were like teenagers, right? The choices that he was making were very unconventional, were very much rooted in his intuition. And people thought they were crazy. Like, people thought they were crazy for passing up on certain deals, right? That in any other world, nobody would have passed up on. But the whole movie, King Richard Richard Will Smith, he keeps this, like, just, he's just so married to his faith and his vision of who his daughters are becoming. And it feels like he is just so certain that they are walking towards their fate that he's able to always make the right decision. But at the same time, as the astrologer, I'm looking at Serena and Venus's charts and I'm thinking how much of their charts were like fated, you know, like how much of their ultimate success or fame or accomplishment was it written in the stars? And how much of it was written in the stars and how much of it was because of them and their talents and how much of it was because of Richard's choices? These are kind of the questions I think we have when we're at the Wheel of Fortune. We're wondering, like, how much of my life is divinely guided? Like, how much of my fate am I just going to run into? And how much of my fate requires me to make choices in accordance with where I'm going? Okay, it's a very complicated question to bring up on this Sunday, but maybe eclipse season wants us to consider how much of our life is fate and how much of our life is free will. And I believe there's like a mixture of both that we can never fully understand as humans in the human experience. We might be able to understand it maybe when we're in a different consciousness, but at least on Earth, we will never fully understand how fate and free will intersect. Nevertheless, I think astrology can really help us maybe find a little bit of peace with the fact that that fate and free will are kind of always intersecting. And again, especially when we're at the 10, when we're in between the 10, the moment of completion, and in between the 10, completion, and the 1, the seed of the new beginning, when we're in that liminal space, I think the choices we make with our free will and the trust and faith we have that the universe is meeting us halfway is the medicine. Like, it's almost like make the choices you can make and continue walking in that direction, but also have faith that, you know, there might be something completely out of the blue that's coming in that you didn't know, and it might be the thing that you've been looking for, and the universe might just be coming in, right? Like, there's something fated, I think, about this week, or there's something, there's just some kind of nuance this week. I can't completely put words to it. But if you ever have a moment this week about, like, is this fate? What is my destiny? And what is my actual choice? There's like this weird dichotomy about that that's coming in this week. And Alex, you said sometimes the wheel feels like the chariot and sometimes it feels like the tower. That is such a good point. Yes. So I have one more thing I want to do for this week. So we know that the wheel is here to guide us through eclipse season. And we're thinking about the fox crossing the river, right? You are almost across the river. The I Ching suggests you start celebrations now. Imagine how it will feel to have completed the crossing. Be truly present to this desire and vision and have confidence in it. There is no mistake in becoming a little intoxicated with the possibilities. This is a way to liberate your essential strength from whatever fears and inhibitions have hindered your progress. It frees you to be more involved, more energetic, more spontaneous, and simply move in the chosen direction. Oh, I'm sorry, Vince. I'm mixing you up with some other Cancer rising. I'm sorry. And however, there is a fine line between disinhibition and delusion. To soak your head is to become very drunk. To lose yourself in that river you still need to cross. When you find your own truth, it is easy to get caught up in the vision and forget that it isn't real yet. You become more confident than ever in your personal grasp of the situation, just as you are altogether losing your grip on it. Okay. Possibilities are here, right? All right, I've got my planetary dice and my sign dice. And let's just ask for some planetary medicine for this week. Oh, I did not expect this. We got the North Node in Cancer. Okay. The North Node in Cancer. Okay, let's listen into that for a second. Okay, what does the North Node in Cancer have to teach us about this question of fate versus free will? What do we do in the liminal space? What do we do when we don't know what's next and our ego or a monkey mind wants to search for the answers in a really chaotic, panic-filled way? Yeah, this is interesting, right? North Node in Cancer. You know what I think of, actually? It's funny, because if we have the North Node in Cancer, we have the South Node in Capricorn, right? And maybe with the South Node in Capricorn, there's a little something about structure and the karma. The karma behind wanting to build structure. And maybe even sometimes the illusion in structure. Because structure isn't bad, right? We need structure in our lives. But sometimes I think our structures give us a false sense of the fact that, like, nothing will ever change, or a false sense of security, when in reality, maybe nothing is 100% guaranteed all the time, and nothing is 100% permanent, right? And I think Cancer, similarly, also has a karmic lesson with structure, and also a karmic lesson with change. So with that North Node in Cancer being some of our medicine for this week as we move through the Wheel of Fortune, I think we're examining our relationship to change, our relationship with permanence and impermanence. And also, I think there's something here too about our relationship with, like, heading towards what is comfortable, right, versus what is in alignment. Heading towards, like, a false sense of safety and security instead of building an aligned sense of safety and security. Yeah, I feel like all of those are Cancerian karmic lessons in a lot of ways. Okay. And Katie, you said North Node in Cancer. I thought, follow your heart. Yes. Amen. I love that. And Emmy, you said, I was thinking, like, Richard, follow your intuition and trust it. Yeah. Oh, I like where you guys are going with this. Yeah, like that intuitive knowing of Cancer. Yeah, being ruled by the moon. The intuitive knowing of the cyclical nature of life in a lot of ways. Okay. Friends, that went by so fast. How can I help you this week? Can I pull some cards for you? Can we send you a prayer? Can we send you some good vibes? Do you need a book recommendation? what do we need in here, this week? And I'll just quickly plug my planets class that starts tomorrow night. Still have a couple spots left. I'm trying to keep this class relatively small because I just want a cozy cohort of, planet students. But if you would like to get into befriending the planets, there's still some time. Starts tomorrow night, Monday, 11:22 at 7 p.m. Central. And if you're interested in, like, a scholarship, or you really, really, really want to take it, but can't quite swing it and a scholarship could help you out, please let me know. I'm more than willing to help at least try make the class possible for you. So that's what I got, my friends. Katie, you said such a beautiful and powerful message today. Oh, I'm glad, Katie. And Quinn, you said, I lost a lifelong friend, Michael, 2 weeks ago on an accidental drug overdose. I would love a card. Any messages for those of us who loved him? Oh, yes, Quinn, I'm so deeply sorry for this loss, and I'm sending healing vibes to you and your friends and Michael's family, and I will absolutely pull a card here. Let's see what we got. Okay. All right. Oh, the cards are flying. Hang on. Like a million just fell down here. Okay. Okay. So, maybe we can ask, like, for some medicine through the grieving process that you, Quinn, and your friends are moving through right now. Yeah, any medicine that the tarot can give us. any messages that the tarot can give us about this situation. Okay. Seven of Cups. Okay. All right. The Seven of Cups. Okay. So there's, I feel like it, automatically, I think there's like a little bit of sense of, like unknown about the situation. And I know that there's, I know that when we are grieving, we, in a lot of ways, we want, like, answers, and we want the why to why this may have happened, or the details, and I think those details often feel like they're going to give us comfort, right? And they feel like they're going to... again, it's that explanation, that knowing that we always want to rush towards. But I think in this sort of, I think there's like maybe, I don't know if there's like a lot of stories or a lot of opinions or even a lot of like theories about maybe what had happened surrounding this time, Quinn. But I'm getting that the Seven of Cups ultimately is a card about like, kind of being out of the body and being kind of stuck in that like imagination kind of headspace where things are just like swirling and nothing is completely grounded. And I think as we're kind of waiting to see how the situation clarifies over time, I think that is the message from this card to both you and your friends about this passing. Be mindful of how much, like, space that we're using to just, like, check out and, like, be in, like, the swirling mystery of the stories surrounding this passing. And it might actually be a more useful energy for both you and your friends through this mourning process to kind of be grounded in the body, which I know is really hard during a moment of grief, but doing things that kind of remove you from the like the swirling imagination soup, right? Which is kind of the Seven of Cups. And maybe just into the feeling of being here in this moment, even if this moment is painful, even if this moment is filled with a lot of complicated emotions. I think the only way we move through complicated emotions is to focus in on what we have right now, what answers we do have in the present moment, even if the answer isn't completely clear. Even focusing on just, yeah, being with the body and being with really what is and what can be known in this moment, not rushing towards like that, again, that imagination soup, which can, I think, drive us a little bit into dark places, right, when we're not careful. So, Quinn, that's what I have for you. Please take what resonates, leave the rest, and know my prayers are with you. Laura, can I have a card for the week? Feeling a little off lately. Sure. Yes. Does anybody else feel like, oh gosh, like last year I got off, didn't have to do the holidays because of the pandemic, like didn't have to go to Thanksgiving, and now it's like, oh, can we do that again? Can we have another year off? Laura, okay, you have Judgment. Okay, so I think maybe judgment's kind of about like an awakening of how to move forward. So even though you're feeling a little off right now, maybe a little stuck, maybe not knowing exactly how to proceed, I think Judgment is a very good sign that like that moment of clarity is coming through and will come through fairly soon. And I think it's about knowing too, like there's something very strongly coming through, like knowing that your current situation won't be the same forever. And I think that might be especially in relation to your work life, like knowing that you will not be in this mindset with work forever. And this, like, whatever this judgment moment is, this, like, moment of dun-dun-dun, like, there's a realization. There's something, there's energy moving. It's coming. And have faith that it's coming. And in the meantime, just kind of stay loose, I guess, would be the message I'm getting from this card. Yeah, and don't become too invested in the narrative of I'm stuck, because it doesn't feel completely true. Alex, thank you, Mal. I would love a general card for the energy of the next week or so. Yes. Okay. Oh, gosh, Alex. The Fool and the Emperor? Here we go. Okay, about to pop off. The Fool and the Emperor. I wonder if this has to do with, like, your projects or your thesis, Alex, but I'm getting that the Fool is coming through as, like, unconventionality, and that kind of embracing of how you are different and unique, and how your message is different and unique, and embracing of all the unconventional ways that you want to live your life, you know, or all of the kind of, I don't know, unique individual ideas that you're having about how to live your life. And it feels like there's just like a lot of permission right now to be the unconventional person, being the weirdo unicorn. You know, whenever I say weirdo unicorn, I mean it in the best way. But yeah, there's just like permission to live your life the way you want to live it. And even if some people think it's weird, or if some people think it's a little bit foolish, as long as you're feeling in alignment and with your intuition, there's something really powerful happening right now with, I think, stepping into that like authentic self, if you will. Okay. And Jessica, you said, can I have some insight for next week at work? I think it's going to be a very positive and important one. Oh, Jessica, I'm glad to hear that. Oh, hell yes. Eight of Pentacles. Okay. All right. So the Eight of Pentacles. Yeah, it's absolutely. I think this card of like divine work, and it's the work that we are quote unquote meant to be doing. And I love how there's like this little bodhisattva monk that's kind of in this card, because it's not just a card about grinding away at like the lifelessness of some menial task, right? Like the Eight of Pentacles is about doing our work with purpose and knowing that there's like a greater domino or butterfly effect to everything that we're doing. So I just see this week at work, you maybe reconnecting to like the why. Like, why are you doing this? Why are you here? Why are you even good at this, right? Like, why did the universe, want you to be good at what you're doing? And I think there's some power and some clarity behind why everything that you've gone through is pushing you towards something, yeah, really, really purposeful. Okay. Laura, you said, I would love a general card. Can't wait to book soon, Mal. Oh, awesome, Laura. Let's see here. I keep losing my cards today. My cards are feeling a little jumpy. Okay, Laura. Ooh, the World in Reverse. Okay. Okay, so Laura, maybe there is like, you know, the World is the final card in the tarot, right? And it very much, I think, relates to some of the themes that, if you were here in the beginning, we talked about, like the ending and the beginning and the space of the unknown between the ending and the beginning. And I'm feeling like there might be maybe a little bit of resistance to like a cycle ending at the moment, because the World is coming out in reverse. But that doesn't mean that the ending has to be rushed. And I think sometimes there's like an acceptance that we can have to resistance. Because sometimes when we're feeling resistant, we almost like try to pretend like it's not there, right? And like we're like, oh, like an example would be, let's say we're in a job. I don't think this is your situation, Laura, but like we're in a job we know is out of alignment. We want to leave it, but we're resistant to that feeling. So we like kind of pretend like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, it's fine. I can do this. I can, like, and we're just resistant to the knowing that there's something that is like closing its chapter. So we could do that and kind of live in a state of self-denial, or we could just accept that, yeah, I'm feeling resistant to this cycle ending in some way. Like, you know, even that acceptance of the resistance can help us move forward in aligned ways. And, there's something here about accepting the resistance. Some of these messages don't make sense to me, but hopefully they make sense to you in some way. Katie, you said I would love a card pull for this week if you have time. Yes, absolutely. Katie, the Lovers in Reverse. Okay, so I'm getting that the Lovers in Reverse, I think there's some work to do this week with maybe reconnecting with yourself and your own path, and maybe creating some boundaries between you and even the people that you love the most. Sometimes boundaries are what keeps our relationships healthy and growing and evolving, right? So with the Lovers in Reverse, and you can see how the people in this card, you know, are really entangled together in a certain interpretation. So I'm getting that sometimes in order to move forward, we have to kind of untangle ourselves from other people's energy and really reconnect with our own energy. And it's interesting because sometimes, you know, with the people we spend the most time with and who we're the most closest to, sometimes we can be unconsciously waiting for them to give us permission to move forward, right? And it's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that that person's a bad person or bad for us. Like, sometimes we can just really be, yeah, I guess unconsciously wanting their validation or their approval or whatever. And I think that there's this moment this week. Maybe it's you just taking a solo hike through the forest, or you taking a day trip or a long drive just by yourself, listening to your music and really deciding for yourself how you want to move forward and really reconnecting with you and your energy, instead of maybe some energetic clutter of others that is hanging around you. Okay. Morgan, you said, I would love like a card pulled, not sure about my relationship with my daughter's father. I would like guidance on how to proceed. Okay, Morgan, you got the Seven of Pentacles. Okay, so I'm getting that the Seven of Pentacles being a card about like waiting and patience. It's possible that maybe, I don't know if you've been waiting for your daughter's father to like give you an answer or change a part of their life or change a part of their behavior, or I don't know if you're waiting for them to initiate something with you. But sometimes the Seven of Pentacles is just about accepting exactly what it is in the moment and proceeding from there. So even if you're not completely happy with his behavior or how he's proceeding with certain things, or maybe you're not happy with the speed in which he is going for whatever reason, I think it's just about accepting what it is and almost maybe It's like taking charge of the direction with the acceptance of where he is right now is where he is. And not waiting for that to change, just figuring out what is the best case scenario for both me and my daughter in this situation where her dad is exactly who he is right now. And how do we create the most healthy, non-toxic dynamic for myself and my daughter in this situation? Because I think the Seven of Pentacles also is sometimes like, why are you waiting? It kind of feels like, in a weird way, it's like, why are you waiting for them to initiate something when you actually have to initiate something? Or like, there's something there, Morgan, that I can't completely make sense of, but that's kind of what's coming through. Okay. So Pam, you said, could I please have a card for this week? Big changes ahead. Sure. Okay, Pam, Ten of Cups. Just feels to me like expect the best. Sometimes when big changes are coming, we tend to expect the worst, and we tend to become crippled with like self-doubt or worries, or sometimes we can even get cold feet about the changes that we are making. But the Ten of Cups is like this beautiful energy of celebration. And what if this change is really going to work out in your favor? And what if this change really is in alignment? And there's something here about celebrating the change and not missing. Don't miss the joy of this moment, and don't miss the joy of this change. Sometimes we can get really caught up in like, okay, you know, it's coming through. I don't know if this is literal or metaphorical, but you know, it's interesting. Like, we could be like buying our dream home and get really, really stressed out in the moving process, and like getting stressed out in the little things, like, oh, I don't have my perfect couch or whatever. And we like miss the huge picture of the celebration in general, which is like, oh, I just bought my dream home, right? Whether that is literal or metaphorical for you, Pam, it's that kind of message. Like, don't miss like the good of this situation because we're getting like stressed out on the nitty gritty situations or the nitty gritty details. Okay. Quinn, you said it most definitely makes sense to me. I was thinking about this card yesterday. Thank you, Mal. So you're so welcome, Quinn. Amy, you said, asking for positive vibes. My lasagna turns out amazing, and everyone who has some loves it. Hell yeah, Amy. Sending you good kitchen witch vibes for your lasagna. Savannah, you said, I lost someone very close to me in my friend group and a couple years ago, and something that really helped me is trying to embody what I love so much about him that I knew we would miss the most. Oh, that's really sweet, Savannah. Alexandra, you said, Mal, feeling overwhelmed and definitely needing guidance for the next week. Absolutely. I'll probably answer Alexandra's question and Vince's question, and then we're gonna hit it for this week because I've got some clients later this afternoon. Okay, so Alexandra, I'm gonna need some guidance. Okay, Alexandra, you actually got the Death card. Okay, so even though this feels to me like sometimes it can be a little bit of an intimidating card to receive when we're already feeling overwhelmed. But no, I think the message that's coming through, Alexandra, is, you know, death is the new beginning. Death is change. The Death card is this part of us that is growing into something new. And I think there's something here like, be gentle with yourself as you are getting used to this new beginning. And don't try to integrate too many new things at once, because sometimes that can be overwhelming in itself. Focus on one new beginning at a time. and just being really gentle with yourself, not expecting yourself to be an expert on the first day, you know? Like, not expecting yourself to adjust to this new phase of your life within a week. The death card sometimes takes a long time for us to adjust to how we are growing and who we are becoming, okay? So again, I think the overwhelm might be because we're not like respecting, or we're not like completely giving ourselves grace, I think would be a better way of putting it. We're not giving ourselves enough grace in this moment of transition, okay? Vince, you said, if we have time, I'd love to get your intuitive thoughts on this Sag season, especially for Cancer risings, with it growing through our sixth house. Yes. Okay, I feel like I'm pretty excited for Sag season, but at the same time, you know, this is a Sag season where Jupiter is still in Aquarius. And although our last Sag season, we had Jupiter in Jupiter in Capricorn, right? Jupiter's extra crabby in Capricorn. And Jupiter's a little crabby in Aquarius, but not as crabby as when they're in Capricorn, right? So I think Jupiter in Aquarius has always been reading to me this whole time as, how do we expand in our limitations? How do we use this moment that which might feel limiting and stifling and make us feel a little bit stuck, which is a very Jupiter in Aquarius co-present with Saturn situation. You know, just because Jupiter is co-present with Saturn and in Saturn's sign doesn't mean that we can't expand. It just means that we're expanding in the not so ideal situation, but sometimes that's what makes us stronger, okay? It's kind of reminding me, for some weird reason, about, isn't it Galileo who got locked? He has his chart ruler in the 12th house, and didn't he get arrested, and he lived in isolation for a lot of his life, but he did some of his greatest work in isolation? Am I making that up? Do I have the wrong person? I think I have the right person. But yeah, that kind of reminds me of Jupiter in Aquarius in a lot of ways. And Katie, you said, thank you so much, laughing inside because we just moved into an extremely tiny studio and we are entangled in the utmost, needed this message. Katie, that's so funny. Oh gosh, yeah, that lovers in reverse, right? And Alexandra, you said, thank you for your comforting message. I tend to forget about giving myself grace. Definitely. Maybe Copernicus, maybe. Vince, I gotta, who am I thinking of? It's someone obvious. I'll DM you if I think of who I'm thinking of. Okay. My friends, it's been such a wonderful Sunday. I hope that you enjoyed this message. If you are signed up for my planets class, know that I'll be emailing you later tonight with all of our class details. There's still some time to sign up for planets class on Monday, 11/22. So if you still want to hop in, you can do that. Just let me know. Link in my bio to all of that good stuff. And that's about it, my friends. Lots of love to you. Watch King Richard if you can. It's a good movie that applies to this week's message. And we will talk soon.